Welcome to The Delivery Diaries with Vanessa Nag. This is a podcast about how families were started. Join us as we hear parents tell us their stories of how their children were delivered, whether that's through birth stories or adoption stories. Listen in as we laugh together, cry together, and learn together. This week, Crystal shares her calm, peaceful, and determined unmedicated hospital birth. With her super supportive husband, she was able to labor at home for 15 hours before going to the hospital. Well, hi, Crystal. Welcome to the Delivery Diaries.
Hi, thanks.
Can you tell listeners a little bit about you and your family?
Yes. So I am a teacher. My husband is a firefighter paramedic. We both live in Baker City, Oregon, and we have a now one-year-old who was born here in Baker City.
Awesome. Well, do you want to get into how you found out you were pregnant?
Yes. Yeah, so it had been a whirlwind of a year. I had just moved that summer from California, where I'm originally from, up to Baker City to join my husband, who had gotten a job prior. And over the summer, I was prepping for the school year since I was starting to get everything ready for my new classroom, things like that. And about a month, not even a month into the school year, the stress of getting ready for new students, the stress of being in a new environment, of just moving, all these things. And then I realize and I find out that I'm pregnant. And so I am a little overwhelmed because I'm thinking, why now? I've just moved. I'm in a new place. I don't know anyone here. And now I'm going to have to deal with a pregnancy. But at the same time, I was actually pretty excited because my husband and I had just started discussing, hey, we should probably think about starting a family soon. Probably like maybe during halfway through the school year, we can maybe revisit this conversation. And right when the school year starts, I find out I'm pregnant, which was a good thing. I mean, it, for us, it was really nice because at least we didn't have to deal with the struggles that many other families have to deal with when it comes to trying to start a family. So at least we were lucky enough to know, oh, hey, we were able to get through this and actually start a family without that struggle. But at the same time, we're thinking, wow, that was cutting it pretty close. So, but it was really exciting. We are the firstborn of both sides of our family. So this was the first grandbaby too. And so now we're thinking, okay, now we're going to be overwhelmed with all these things. But the excitement started growing. And from there, we started thinking, okay, how is it going to look like when we are going through this pregnancy? What do we have to do? What do we need? Since we don't have any family nearby, the closest family we have is about 5.5 hours away from us. And so we kind of were thinking, okay, we're kind of on our own with this. And we need to figure out what steps do we need to take in order to make this a fun experience and fun season in our lives. The pregnancy itself went very well. It was quite uneventful, which was nice.
That's always nice.
Yeah, it's always really nice. I've heard all the stories, everything that my family was saying, oh, I had this. And so I was half expecting it to be just completely awful and expecting all these things to happen. And then the worst thing I had was nausea. And different food aversions, but that was pretty much the extreme that I had to experience with the pregnancy. So I enjoyed it. I absolutely loved being pregnant. And I don't miss the aversions, though. It was so funny because I had the worst food aversion to fish. And it was so bad that I couldn't even look at live fish swimming around without feeling sick.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was really bad, but my husband always, would always try to turn around and make it more positive and just would make it a joke, which is funny now because my one-year-old loves fish. Absolutely loves it. Mm-hmm. He loves it. So we kind of now have a joke about it saying I absolutely hated it, but now he loves it. But yeah, the pregnancy itself was really good. It wasn't until when we did the when they did the testing for group B strep, I got, that was the only thing that was considered negative for the pregnancy, because I tested positive for it, which for me, after having such a smooth, uneventful pregnancy, getting that positive result really kind of hit me hard, because I was thinking, oh, you know, I'm just going to have the best pregnancy ever. And then the doctor's like, well, we're going to have to get antibiotics. And so I kind of had to change my perspective a bit after that, because I was pretty upset. I was hoping to try to avoid any kind of intervention I could. And so this was really the only thing. If this was the only thing I had to deal with for pregnancy, I mean, you know, it is what it is. So it was then that I realized, okay, now we're going to have to really start planning. What is my birth going to look like? Since it's not the all be all natural intervention free that I was hoping and envisioning. But I was still able to get that, which was really exciting. So once we got into the birth, my due date was June 5th of last year, 2019. And we are getting to the last 2 weeks of school. I had everything ready to go. I go on maternity leave the last 2 weeks of school, right after Memorial Day, May of 2019. And I then just use that time, because I've been so busy with the school year, to actually do everything that I was trying to do over the weekends in terms of nesting, cleaning, prepping, everything I needed to do for the baby, because I was so swamped with school stuff over the weekend that I was exhausted. And so I finally decided I need to get these last 2 weeks off before the baby's due, since the school year ended June 7th. So my due date was right at the end of the school year. So I needed to just prep everything those last 2 weeks, and I got a lot of cleaning done. I mean, it was just a whirlwind. I didn't realize I had so much energy those last 2 weeks, because I was just bone dead tired from the school year and having grades and dealing with kids and all these things. And my mom, who flew in from Florida, came in I think she came in the day before my due date and was with us and just had me walking everywhere. And I was just walking all over town. I would do, you know, 2-3 mile walks all over trying to get the baby to drop, because he just was very cozy. He just was not wanting to leave. And it wasn't until I got to my 40-week appointment, which was 2 days after my due date, that the doctor checked. And that was my only time I had a cervical check to see how, if I was dilated, there was any effacement. And he checked and said that I was only 1 centimeter dilated, but I was, I think, about 80% effaced at that point. And he said, even though it may not seem like it, you may actually be closer than you think, which was nice to hear from a doctor. But at the same time, I was thinking that, you know, maybe I was closer than I was expecting to be, but it wasn't. And so I decided on a membrane sweep, because I just wanted to make sure. I just didn't want to be induced at all. The doctor was willing to let me go to 42 weeks since there was nothing bad about my pregnancy. He was willing to let me go that far, which was really nice to hear as well. And got my membrane swept Friday. Saturday, I wake up with cramps, which he said was to be expected after membrane sweep. But then I started getting a bloody show. And then I was looking at my husband thinking, wait, is this supposed to happen as well? And he said, I think so, but let's just double check to make sure it's not, you know, it's not just the bleeding after the procedure. And so we just double checked, and they said, well, just keep an eye on it. If it continues, then try to see if maybe there's any contractions that might be coming. And a couple hours later, I started having little mild contractions. And so I looked at my husband, I think this might be starting. I'm not sure, but the contractions would kind of go for a couple hours and then they'd stop. And that was going on for 2 days. So I was kind of having prodromal labor a bit for 2 days, where it just would go on for a couple hours and then just stop. And I was kind of expecting, I was like, maybe I'm going to have my baby by Sunday. We'll see how this goes. And Sunday comes around, nope, nothing. And Monday comes around, nothing. But Monday, my mom, knowing that I was kind of starting to feel a little defeated, I don't see anything happening. There's nothing. There's no consistency. It's not staying. It's just stopping. She just had me walking around even more. She's just, you need to get that baby out. And after that walk, I finally started feeling, it's starting to become a little more intense now, and it's not going away as fast as I expected. And so I just kept walking, kept trying to move, distracting myself with food prep, things like that. And around midnight, Tuesday morning, the switch just flipped. And I just felt the most powerful contraction I had that whole weekend. And I knew right then and there, this is it. There's no doubt in my mind that this is not labor starting. And I surprised my husband because I almost yelled because I was so surprised from how powerful that contraction was. And he looked at me thinking, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I said, I think it's starting. Like, I have no doubt in my mind at this point now that this has to be it. And so I had my yoga ball set up, I had a yoga mat, and just in case if that was the real deal. And it kept going, it kept coming back kind of like clockwork and kept staying intense, not going away. And so I just told my husband, hey, just go ahead and sleep. And I'm going to go ahead and just lie on the yoga ball and just kind of ride these contractions out and see if there's any change. And so he's sleeping and I'm on the yoga ball, just listening to music, just kind of concentrating, breathing through the contractions. And I open my eyes and it's about 6 o'clock in the morning now. So I just kind of got into this zone where I just focused, I just let it happen. And, it was about 6 hours later that I then realized, oh, I should probably get up and see how things are going. And I stood up and things actually standing up made the contractions even more intense. And so I was then telling my husband, hey, trying to wake him up. Hey, it's really starting. So you need to let your parents know to get prepping to start heading over. I'm not sure how long because I'm at this point, as a first-time mom, I'm expecting it to go for at least another day or so with all these contractions. And so I told him just start letting them know, be prepared for them to take off because that's a long drive ahead of them. And that I'm just going to be doing what I need to do. And my mom wanted to help. But then I kind of got into this, I realized at that point that I really wasn't that person during labor that I wanted to be touched much. And I just kind of wanted to be in a little like quiet, dark space. I just wanted to be by myself and just letting it happen. And my husband at that point had kind of made the connection. Oh, she doesn't want to be bothered. She just kind of wants to be on her own for a little bit. We'll just check in a little bit, see how she's doing. And then I want to say at this point, it's around 10, 11 in the morning, when he comes to check in on me and sees how I'm doing. I was able to lie down for a little bit and sleep. But lying down, the contraction slowed down. And so my husband kind of, caught onto that as well, saying, oh, the contractions are slowing down when you lie down, you're going to have to start standing up. And I was so tired by then that I was saying, I really don't want to stand up right now. Can I just rest? I just want to lie down for a little bit. And he said, here, let's just do this. You get on your yoga mat, you get on your yoga ball, and I'll just rub your back a little bit. See if that helps you calm down. You relax and to rest. And if that doesn't happen, let me know. If that doesn't work, we'll try something else. And after a little bit, I don't really want you to touch me right now. I just need you to just help breathe through this. And I was able to at least be able to communicate clearly, which was nice. I wasn't expecting to be able to communicate as well as I did during my labor. And so I was able to tell him, hey, I really don't want that. I just want you to just be with me and just help me breathe through it and just help coach me through it. And he then started doing that. And then a little bit at this point is, I think now it's been 12 hours. So it's around noon since when that first contraction hit. And I feel that it's starting to get a little more intense and the timing is starting to pick up again. And he notices that in terms of communicating, I'm having a little bit of a harder time to communicate. And so he then comes up with a nonverbal cue to let him know, hey, what kind of support do you need from me? And so he was holding me up as I was kind of going through a contraction. And he said, okay, squeeze my shoulder once if it's a medium type contraction, or squeeze twice if it's more intense. And so we used that system for the rest of the time of my labor, which was so helpful because by the end of my labor, I did not want to talk. I did not want anyone to tell me anything. I just wanted to just get through it. And so that was so helpful. And we just went on a walk and I just wanted it to pick up because at that point it had been, I want to say, contractions were about close to a minute long, and then they would vary between 8 to 6 minutes in between. So there wasn't a lot of consistency with the contractions. There's a bit of a pattern, but there wasn't the solid, you know, 5-1-1 that they tell you to look for. And so it wasn't until, I want to say, about 4 or 5 o'clock that I finally started feeling that there was more of that consistent pattern that they ask you to look for. And my husband, at that point I told him, I can't keep track of the contractions. You need to do it. I just need to focus on this. And for him being a firefighter paramedic, he has done, I think, about 4 deliveries in his job. And so he's kind of seasoned with how this goes, the process, even though we're both first time parents. And so he was able to kind of notice the nonverbal cues from me that I didn't even realize I was giving, to see that, okay, is she ready to go? Should I start packing? So he was very intuitive, which was so great because I didn't even realize, you know, half the things that he noticed, I didn't even think to ask about or tell him about. He was able to use his background knowledge to help me at that moment.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at that point now, we've gotten to about 6:30 p.m. at this point, and I'm in the living room and my husband has put on a movie to just as a background distraction to keep me focused on something without me having to completely focus on kind of just that intense, overwhelming, just waves of pain that I'm at that point that I was feeling. And he, again, using the nonverbal squeezing cues, was just helping me, was talking to me, asking me questions where I would just kind of, I could either give simple answers or just head nods, just to keep me, keep my mind focused on other things besides just the labor if I needed it. And it was around 8 o'clock where even my mom was saying, maybe we should start checking to see if we need to go. And I kind of looked at her and I looked at him and I said, yeah, we need to go. And at this point, you know, it's been what, 15 hours into it since the first active contraction. And I, at that point, my husband's saying, okay, I think we've been able to labor at home as long as we can, especially because I was GBS positive. They asked me to come in so that I had enough time to at least get one round in. So we show up to the ER, which is where we had to go and check in, because it was after, at that point it was after hours. And the nurse that's checking us in is absolutely over the moon. She is giddy with excitement that I'm there. I, on the other hand, I was not appreciating her excitement. I was like, how could you be so excited? I'm in absolute agony right now. But she was so excited because she works with my husband. And so everyone in the hospital, everyone in kind of in that first responder circle have been waiting for me at this point, seeing when I'm going to show up. And so she was so excited to see me there. She's like, yes, finally, the baby's going to show up. And so they finally get me into the labor and delivery section of the hospital, where they have they call it a birth center, even though it's not really a birthing center. But it's just
like the area of the hospital.
Yeah, just kind of the area. For being a rural area, it was an amazing space to have a baby, because they have your own personal rooms. There's only, I think, about 4 rooms in their labor and delivery ward, and I was the only mom there.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
So I had 3 nurses at my beck and call that could give me anything that I needed at that point, which was an amazing, amazing experience, because I was told at least the weekend before was packed. All rooms were full. And so the fact that I showed up after and I was the only mom there really, for me, was really nice as an experience, because I was able to get the full attention that I needed. I didn't have to worry about the nurses running in and out of the room. I didn't have to worry about anybody coming in that I didn't want. It was a really nice experience, a really calming environment for being a hospital, which was huge for me, because I was hoping to, you know, at least be in a birthing center or something that wasn't so hospital-like, but the way they had it set up made it, for me, feel super comfortable. And so I was able to labor very well in that environment. Now it's about 9 o'clock in the evening, and by the time I'm checked in and they get me set up, they have me put on my gown. They put on my monitor to see how the baby's doing. And then they do a check and they tell me, you're 7 centimeters dilated. And I was so happy. I mean, for the fact that I was just not in a really verbal mood, I just yelled, yes, I'm so excited. I was so worried that I was going to be way under, because I hear the stories of either moms are either way over or way under than they feel. And so coming in knowing that I'm at 7 centimeters was an absolute victory for me.
For sure.
Yeah. And the nurses were saying, okay, we're just going to go ahead and get you your antibiotics. We'll get that going for you. And as you're getting the antibiotics, we'll put the water in the tub so that you can sit in there and labor in the tub. And I feel like that was probably the longest 30 minutes of my life, besides the drive to the hospital, which was about only 5 minutes, was absolute torment. That 30 minutes of getting the antibiotics was probably the longest 30 minutes of my life during that labor, because I had to stay on the bed, but they allowed me to be able to labor in a more comfortable position than on my back, which was a relief for me. But the fact that I couldn't move like I did when I was at home was pretty rough. And at that point as well, the contractions had really picked up. My water hadn't broke at that point. My waters still haven't broken, and I'm just in agony from how strong the contractions are, even without my waters broken. And I'm just sitting there, just gripping on the bed, just like trying to just stay level-headed, which surprisingly, that whole labor, I felt like I was much more level-headed than I anticipated to be. And so I'm trying to stay in that kind of that mental space that I had before. And that was a real struggle for me, having to stay in the bed and not move when the contractions are that painful at that point, which looking back now kind of hinted at me saying, at that point, I was probably getting ready to go into transition. And finally, the 30 minutes pass. They unhook me from the antibiotics and they get the monitors off, and I'm able to go into the tub and I labor in there. And I can't tell you how long I was in there, because it just, at that point, that I really believe that was when transition hit, and I just spent my whole transition in the tub. And I got into a place where I just completely became nonverbal. Any kind of thing that they asked me, I just kind of did. I didn't even make any sounds except for just vocalizations while I was going through those contractions. And that was, it was a very intense moment and feeling for me going through that, because I never felt like I was going to be able to handle something like that. But then to be able to go through it, and looking back now, seeing how I handled it, it was a very intimate and very intense moment in my life that words can't fully describe, which is amazing to think about, because that is just such a unique time in my life that I both hated and now appreciate. At that point, my husband was also, at times my husband kind of comments saying, you know, that moment was pretty memorable for him too, because he was doing everything he could at home. And then once I got into that tub and he was sitting next to me in the tub, he told me he felt kind of a little bit helpless, because I was getting to a point of really tough phase through that labor, and he was not able to do anything except just be there. And for him, that was the hardest thing to do, especially with his type of profession where he's meant to help people that are in pain. He couldn't do anything. And so for him, that was the hardest part of that labor. And so we kind of reflect on that, thinking, you know, that was a really, really tough time. And again, I have no idea how long I was in there, because my mind just kind of went into a different space. But my husband said it was about maybe an hour and a half. That was for him the longest hour and a half that he had ever experienced, because he's also not just making sure I'm okay, but he's checking in with his parents saying, hey, are you here? Where are you? She is ready to go at this point. And he was just kind of, he was there, which was, for me, I think was the most helpful thing, at least for me in that moment, just him being next to me and just holding my hand and giving me ice chips whenever I needed them. I always tell him that was the thing you needed to do for me. Nothing else you could have done would have helped me. That was the one thing you needed to do for me, and you did it well. And finally, we get to a point where I hit a contraction, and he instantly knew, okay, this is a contraction that's different than the other ones. All the other contractions he could tell were fine, but this is the one. And I'm going to ask, Crystal, do you feel like you're about to push? And I just kind of, I don't even remember this moment, but I just kind of gave a head nod. And then he just told the nurses, the baby is coming. And then all of a sudden, that's just, everything just went chaotic, and not really like crazy chaotic, but everybody just started getting into a place. They started getting everything ready. And I just remember getting out of the tub, and my husband dries me off so he can get the gown back on. He gets me to the bed. We check the baby, see how the baby's doing, and the baby's doing well. And they're calling the doctor saying, hey, you know, she's ready to push. The baby's ready to come. They check, and I'm fully dilated, a small little cervical lip, but the next, whatever contraction is going to happen next, we'll get rid of it. And just to not push. They're telling me, Kate, if you have an urge to push, do not push until we know for a fact the doctor is here. And that was, I kind of laugh now thinking back at it, because at that moment I was thinking, oh, I don't really need to push right now. I should be fine. Like it's not too bad. And they said, okay, cool. The doctor's about 10 minutes away, and he should be here, and we'll be able to get things going. And they call the doctor saying, hey, she feels like she has a little bit of an urge to push, but not too bad. The doctor said, okay, fine. Go ahead and let her do a little practice push, see if that helps relieve whatever feeling she has. And so they have me on my back, and they have me do a little practice push, and then my waters break. And once the waters break, that was like opening up the floodgates, almost literally, because I, at that point, whatever urge I little urge I had now just multiplied. And I all of a sudden just told the nurse, oh my gosh, I really need to push. I really need to push. And the nurses are just calmly looking at me saying, okay, Crystal, just breathe. Okay. If you need to push, just breathe in. Just don't try to push. Don't try to do anything. And I'm telling, and I just remember hearing hearing the nurses saying that. And I just tell them, I cannot physically stop myself from pushing. That was the one thing I remember saying. I cannot physically stop myself. I need to push. And the nurses are saying, the doctor's almost here. Let's go ahead and change positions. Let's not try to push just yet. And I just remember getting into this mode where I'm just repeating, I need to push, I need to push, I need to push. And that's all I say for the next 8 minutes, which felt like an eternity for the doctor to show up. But then once I hear the nurses say, oh, the doctor is here, I stop, I just release, and I just start pushing. I cannot, at that point, I knew that if I started pushing and the baby showed up, at least the doctor is there. The doctor shows up and is ready to go, everything's set up, so he's ready to catch the baby at this point. 10 minutes later, baby is here.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so from start to finish, from knowing when I was ready to push, when the doctor showed up for me to start pushing was about 18 minutes.
Wow.
I was shocked after at how fast the baby showed up because I was half expecting at least an hour of pushing or, you know, 2 hours of pushing even. For first time moms, I just always am hearing these stories of, hey, the baby's going to show up, but you might be pushing a long time. Nope. Not for me. The baby was out in 18 minutes. And I was in shock. I mean, the whole thing just happened so fast. In my mind, everything just was a whirlwind. And then all of a sudden I hear the baby screaming and they say the baby's here. And then everything just stops. And I was just overwhelmed. And, you know, that rush of hormones and that rush of just all these emotions just hit me. And all I could say was, let me see the baby. I want to see the baby. And it was for the fact that I starting midnight that day and baby was born 11:35 PM that night. It was close to 24 hours from start to finish. It was amazing. I mean, for the fact that, especially for a first time pregnancy, first time labor and birth, to have it that short compared to many other moms for me was unexpected.
Which is always a good surprise when it happens like that.
Oh yes. I made sure to put my expectations in knowing, okay, it's going to take much longer. It's just, I know it's going to take a while for the baby to show up. And then I was, you know, surprised with the fact that none of that happened and baby showed up within 24 hours.
And so how was your postpartum?
Postpartum was much better than I had anticipated, only because I half expected to feel like I was run over by a bus for a good week. By day two, I felt so at my recovery by day two, I felt like I was almost like as if I didn't have a baby in terms of my energy levels and feeling my body wasn't as sore. I did have a small tear, but I didn't need any stitches for that, seeing as how fast the baby came out. But even then, I was completely healed. Everything healed fine by the time I came in for my checkup, for my 6 week checkup. And I was pleasantly surprised at how well I felt by even the second day. I mean, I was exhausted, but I didn't feel like I was gonna just be completely dead to the world like I thought I was going to be.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you would want to give any mothers any bits of wisdom or advice about pregnancy, birth, and labor, what would that be?
I would say to first to trust yourself and your instincts, because I don't want to say that I'm an overthinker, but I know for a fact I am an overthinker. And wanting to overthink my labor was kind of the thing I was fighting against at first, because I didn't want to believe it was it, because I was expecting all these other things. And to trust knowing that, hey, like you'll know when it hits, and you'll just know what to do as each contraction comes, each step you take, you'll go step by step, and you'll just know and feel like you're every moment that you take in labor it's okay to make moment by moment decisions, because one moment it might be different than another. And it's okay to feel like you can't have a plan, because you can't have a plan really. And to also trust your partner in being there and knowing that they're going to be there for you however you need them to, and to trust that they'll be okay. Because I was almost at times feeling worried for my husband, even though I should have been focusing on myself. But knowing that he was going to be okay, and that he is going to look for your best interests as well.
Definitely. I love how supportive your husband was.
Yeah, it was incredible, because I could tell, at least my experience with labor and delivery, I was able to get insight on him, on how he treats his patients. And it was a very, very special experience for me to be able to see that, because I could tell that he is willing to do anything he needs to do to make sure that the patient is okay. And he was willing to do anything to make sure I was okay. And I got to see that insight that I don't really get a chance to see with his job, which was very special. And I tell him, hey, you know, I really appreciate how well you cared for me. And it just, for me, it makes me feel even more proud of him for what he's doing and what he's pursuing in his career, which is really cool to see. And something that I never thought I'd, you know, be able to experience.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story tonight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Delivery Diaries. If you are loving The Delivery Diaries birth and adoption stories, it would mean so much if you could leave a review on your favorite podcast app. If you'd like to see pictures from this week's episode, head over to @TheDeliveryDiaries on Instagram and Facebook.